Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, you know, the Apostle Paul, that's a book in the Bible, he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit some instructions to the church in Corinth. And so we kind of get in on what he told them. And one of the things that he talks about in different places is about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have to remember that when Jesus died, okay, rose again, he was with his disciples, and he was seen among other people, and he said, I have to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit, all right? Send the Holy Spirit to people so the Holy Spirit can continue to convict us and help us and inspire us and breathe on us and bring us life in faith in him. And so one of the things is that Paul talks about is the gifts of this Holy Spirit. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed according to the will of God and the Holy Spirit. And one of those gifts that he talks about, so we'll just be open here. Maybe you've heard about speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is a little different than the baptism, though that is a gift. The speaking in tongues, and not when it's just a prayer, a personal prayer, but then when there's an interpretation of that language, that is, the interpretation is done in the language that would be common amongst those who are present, so we would understand. So this morning, you heard someone, and I didn't look, someone back here started to speak out loud, and I promise you that probably no one in this room understood what they were saying. Okay? Probably didn't understand it. You're thinking, oh my goodness, where am I, or where's the usher, grab this person. Okay, what is going on? And we have all kinds of thoughts, especially if the person tends to be closer to you. Okay, if they're across the room, you're kind of going, oh boy, and who's that, and what's going on? When they're close to you, you're like, oh no. Now, I know, because I've gone through this stuff in my life and, you know, been around it and all those things and have talked with a lot of people through this. And then after they were done, you heard someone speak in English because probably everybody in this room understood them. So there was an interpretation of this message that was given so that we could understand, so that we could hear it, understand it, and benefit from it. And that was talked about as a gift of the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote about. There was a variety of gifts, but that was one of them, and I wanted to bring that up this morning and not just move along. Sometimes we move along in the service, but sometimes I pause and bring just a little explanation and say, listen, it might be new to you, and it might sound different to you, and it might be weird to you. However, these things were written about in the Scripture. Now, how cool is that, the things that were written in the Bible that still happen today? So, God is not out of touch, and he's not irrelevant, and he might move and do things outside the way that you think about things, but they are found in the Scripture. And you and I may have questions about them even when we read them in Scripture, and it's more comfortable, let's face it, it's more comfortable for us to say, well, that was for then and not for now, because that's saying, I believe, but I don't understand it, and so I love you, God, but keep that away from me. That's comfortable for us. But our faith in God isn't about you and I and our flesh and attitude about being comfortable, is it? He comforts us, but he moves us along through some discomforts as we abandon what we think and we start to agree with him. And that is a move of the Holy Spirit in your life, to move us along. And so I did not want to just steamroll over this morning and move on. If you're here and you're saying, what just happened? Somebody spoke in tongues, somebody interpreted, and I understood the interpretation, and that was a really good message. Well, that's because God knows what's going on. The wonderful thing is, is that God could be present here this morning by this Holy Spirit. I mean, and he's everywhere. But you know what? That he would pay enough attention and care enough for you and I this morning in this place to speak to us. So be encouraged this morning. God's here. He knows you. And he wants to encourage you and inspire you this morning. He wants to have a relationship with you. So now let's look at his written word, which, by the way, the same Holy Spirit who inspired the gift this morning inspired these writers to write. So now may he inspire you and I to hear. In Luke chapter 7, and I'm not going to read this whole section, but we're going to read some scriptures as we go through this morning. Luke 7, there's a portion where Jesus is invited to a dinner at a Pharisee's home. Okay, this is a religious person. All right? And so he's invited to this, to the home of this Pharisee. And as he enters, gets little taste, little indication that he is not being treated well or treated like others who were invited to this dinner. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this passage on different occasions, and so I'm going to leave some things out. I'm just going to try to get to where we're going. But understand that in that day and age, when people in the community who had some measure of notoriety got together and they would have a dinner party where there were several people, the community kind of found out about it. And so people in the community would show up. Now, they wouldn't go in the person's house. They wouldn't trespass. But they would come and stand around the edge of the property. Or in this case, they kind of had a dinner in what you and I might call like an outside eating area or a patio or a courtyard. And it's where they could have a dinner party. And so Jesus and the other guests were there at this Pharisee's home, and people in the community, when they found out about it, this was like their local cinema. For those of you who are older than 37, it would be like a local movie house. All right? And don't be offended by that. What I mean is, they didn't have always this entertainment and things to go to. And so when people who were invited at a dinner party and had some notoriety and some popularity, people from the community would kind of come and say, I want to see who's there. I heard so-and-so was going to be there. And, you know, all this little talk would go throughout the community, and they would gather around, and they would stand outside, and they'd kind of whisper and say, hey, look at so-and-so, and oh, look what they're eating, and look how they decorated, and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like you eating at a fancy restaurant, and they seat you by the window on the sidewalk. And people walk by, and some stop and press their nose against the window and stare at your food. You know, it was that kind of thing. That's what they did, some of them, for, you know, the evening out. Let's go on a stroll. Let's go watch. Let's go look. The who's who, the busybodies, the nosy, you know, that kind of thing. Well, word got out that Jesus was gone. And so this woman shows up. Now, this woman is a woman with somewhat of a tainted life and tainted past. And as she is there, she is standing close enough that she begins to weep and cry. Now understand that when they got together at these places and ate, they kind of lounged at the table. And when I say lounged, I don't mean they just undid a buckle of their pants and slouched in a chair. They lounged as in like pillows, and many of them laid down. And so if they laid with their feet towards the table, they couldn't reach stuff. So they lounged so that they could reach things. Neat. And they lounged and their feet were kind of away from the table. Well, they happened to be at a place where the crowd and the community could gather around. And there was a woman who heard that Jesus was going to be there, and she began to weep. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she began to dry them off with her hair. And then she anointed them. And as she's doing this, now remember, the Pharisees who invited Jesus, they were mistreating him already through the evening, not giving him the same hospitality that they were giving some of their other guests. I'm not going to go into detail how I know that. It's just there in the scripture, and that's not the sermon this morning. All we know is there's this woman there, and she's crying, and she anoints his feet with an oil, an expensive oil. And a Pharisee says, loud enough so that Jesus could hear, though the Pharisee was not talking to Jesus, but talking to someone else. In other words, a moment where you want someone to overhear you, but you're acting like you don't want them to. But you really want them to hear. And the religious leader says, oh, if he only knew what kind of woman it is that's touching him. So this harlot, this prostitute, this woman with a tainted past does this. And Jesus begins to talk about how they mistreated him since he arrived, but how this woman has offered something beautiful to him. There's another passage, and we're going to come back to this. I'm going to talk about it. But in Mark 14, something kind of similar almost happens. But this is in Mark 14, and it's the Jesus coming into Bethany. It's the last week before the crucifixion. He's kind of coming into that last week. And here he is, verse 3. And it says, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at a table. By the way, Simon is a leper who was cleansed by Jesus. A woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. By the way, the 300 denarii, so you can have an idea of what it was really worth, was about, on an average wage, was about 300 days' worth of wages. So you can kind of figure out if the median wage here in Sparta was, I don't know, $38,000 or $40,000, something like that. You can kind of do the math on what that was worth in correlation in our day. And so she pours out this fragrant oil and perfume upon his head. And some were offended by it. Now, those who were offended by it were disciples. They were with him. Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to help the poor. And they scolded her. It's like, why did you do that? You just wasted that. You know how many people you could have helped? And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand, before burial, and truly I say to you, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, whenever, and through this time, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Two places where Jesus is anointed and people had trouble with it. In the first instance, amongst the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the trouble wasn't the anointing, it was who was giving this offering to Jesus. They had trouble with that woman, who she was, the kind of life she had. In the second, in Mark 14, you know, the disciples kind of knew of the story already where Jesus was at the Pharisee's home as far as chronology and the order of events. So they didn't have a problem with Mary, who was really, you know, part of the kind of the hostess and a friend of theirs in this home. And here now, they don't have a problem with who was anointing Jesus. Now they had a problem with what she was offering. Isn't it interesting that the criticisms came from the religious leaders and then it came from disciples? You might expect those who don't believe to criticize or misunderstand, but here they are in, you know, the religious community. And in the first instance, they had a problem with the person who was offering it, and in the second instance, they had a problem with what their offering was. I want you to know here at New Life Assembly of God, we don't have everything ironed out, and this is not a perfect place. But hopefully we're moving along, and I want us to do things right. And I want you to know, no matter what walk of life you've come from, you will be encouraged and you will be provided the opportunity to worship the Lord. I don't care if you were a prostitute. I don't care if you were a thief. I don't care if you've been a liar. I don't care if you're starting to come, if you're not even out of that lifestyle yet. I want you to know something. If you put faith in Jesus Christ and you've come here to praise Him and worship Him, you can do it. Doesn't matter. I mean, those things matter, but they don't matter. When you put faith in Christ, our past, our history is wiped clean. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to remove eternal consequences from our life and saves us that we can be restored to a relationship with God where we don't have to carry guilt and condemnation. Our mind might remember what we have done or what has been done to us, but we do not have to live under the influence or the title or the name calling or the finger pointing anymore. This is about what God thinks. And when Jesus says, she has done a beautiful thing to me, and it doesn't matter what her life was, that she may have been looked down on or an outcast because of her wayward life, Jesus recognized that she had faith in Him and offered Him something beautiful. And the second occasion where the disciples had a problem with not the one who was offering it, but how expensive and what kind of gift, or it could have been offered different. Listen, whatever you have in your heart to offer God, you can offer it. Isn't it interesting that we get so wrapped up and critical of somebody else's offering? It's not even ours. It's none of our business. It's not for us to criticize their offering. Oh, it could have helped so many other people. What'd you do it that way for? Oh, now you spilt it all over them and offered it to them. I mean, this has no practical use. God is about practice. He is. He's about practice. He is about taking care of the poor. He is about taking care of widows. He is all about the practice. But He's also about the practice of the kingdom of heaven, which you and I don't always get a glimpse into because we don't understand. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing unto me. Poses this question to me. What beautiful thing have I done unto the Lord? The wonderful thing about both of these offerings is that these women kind of broke out of some type of unspoken, I don't know, rules. because they were so moved upon with gratitude towards what the Lord has done in their life. I'm wondering how much gratitude that I have had towards the Lord, has it moved me to worship Him and offer Him something? What about you? Or is it that we walk in church and we're just going to offer what we always offer? And the expression might be the same, but God looks beyond the expression. And He looks to the motive and to the heart. Do you remember the occasion where Jesus was by the temple with His disciples, and it was a time where people would bring their offerings to the temple? And Jesus was across looking at this, and many people, many wealthy people would come and offer a lot. And of course, there's an audience. And then in line here is this widow. And she's just there, mixed in, waiting for her turn, moving along in the line. And people are wealthy and they're bringing much and giving much. And of course, people see this. And now the widow's turn. And she drops in two mites. Why don't you three guys come on up here? Come here, you three guys, come on. Jesus, get over here. Get over here, like with me, over here. Okay. These are just a few of the disciples. I'm going to humbly play the role of Jesus and how I see this. You're watching all these wealthy people come and bring a lot. You look real attentive. Keep your eyes open during this, would you, boys? The widow, and all these wealthy, and there, was it him? It was him. Those of you who don't know it, that's my son. So the people are bringing, you know, just gobs of money, wealthy, and we're just kind of here watching it. And you're watching this poor little widow come up, and she drops in two mites, and all of a sudden, Jesus goes off. He said, hey, did you guys see that? Look at that. Did you see that? Did you see that? She gave more than all of them. And you guys are like, Jesus, you're not doing the math right. Did you see that? She gave two mites. One, two. You couldn't even buy a loaf of bread to feed yourself on that. But she gave more than all of them. And the disciples gave that kind of look. You guys can sit down. They're like, yeah, I don't get it. Jesus says, that widow, two mites. She gave her livelihood. She gave everything she had. See, there were others that could say, oh, yeah, oh, here they're coming with the bags. The woo-hoo. Oh, yeah, dump it in the temple. Oh, yeah. Oh, here comes that widow. Clink, clink. And Jesus says, hey, she gave more than the rest. She gave everything she had. So you don't get nervous. This isn't moving towards, okay, now I'm going to talk about giving money to the Lord in church and offering. That's not where this is going. Because I've got news for you. God wants way more than your money. He wants all of you. So now you can get nervous. You see, God sees beyond and He looks to the motive of giving. These disciples who were there and had a problem with, you know, this woman anointing Jesus with this 300 days of wages. These are the same group of guys that got together and argued about who's the greatest among them. Remember that? This is the same group of guys. So they're thinking the whole comparison thing. Well, when we get into that, we start to offer things to God that are not an offering at all. We give it at church, or we offer it to God, but we do it so others can see. And so now we get critical of what people are offering. It could be similar to this morning where we sit in the pew and all of a sudden we're called to worship and we stand up and we sing. We might raise a hand. We might follow the words. We might say, oh, I hate this contemporary stuff. Whatever's going on. And then you saw this morning a few people kind of eventually get out of their seat and kind of go forward. And they worship, or they jump, or they kneel down, and you're back there going, oh, gee, you know, that's so distracting. Why are they doing that? Are they just trying to show off that they're spiritual? Listen, what business is it of yours to criticize somebody else's offering? Maybe they did come up with ill motive. But frankly, I don't get bent out of shape over that. You want to know why? God sees it. And he rewards and pours out accordingly. Just like the person who maybe didn't go up front, and maybe they're sitting somewhere back here, and they're in the pew this morning, and maybe they sat down during worship. You're thinking, now why aren't they standing? The rest of us are standing. And they're over there, and in the pew, they're crying out, and their head's bowed, and the tears are coming out of their eyes because they are so moved upon in their heart, and they are offering God something. Or you look at somebody come up here, and maybe they're dressed different than you, or I don't know, maybe they smell different than you. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe you surmise the outward shell is like, And now you got a problem with the person who's offering it. If we pray for a move of God among us, everybody's welcome to offer. And what you offer, you better just care about what God thinks. Don't try to offer something that you don't really have. People might think, but God sees. When it comes to offering and praise and giving to God, it's all about what's inside and our motive. That's what he sees. He saw it in the widow. Two mites, people could care less. They didn't even bend over to pick that stuff up. Listen, I went to the Walmart parking lot the other day, and I saw about 10 feet away, it just happened to catch my eye, there was a penny laying over there. I didn't even pick it up. Oh. Listen, I can tell you about where it's at. If you're offended, you can go get it. Listen, I was carrying a couple Walmart bags, and I didn't eat that long ago. It was kind of tough to bend over. But God saw the heart. He saw the motive. The beautiful thing that she offered. We just need to get to the business of offering something and allowing others to offer freely and not sit in judgment over their offering. It's about what's being done in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're giving purely out of obligation, hey, admire you for your determination, your commitment, your obligation, all of that. But you know what? There's no life in it without the element of faith. So may all that we offer him be done in faith. When it comes to our 10% and our tithe, our missions giving, when we talk about money, when it talks about serving someone and helping someone, listen, we just had somebody come in this last week, and they happened to arrive when Stacy Bruce was filling in our office. We've had a couple of people just kind of filling some hours with Marlene being out and being assistant to Carol, and Carol's put in extra hours. And they happened to come by because they needed some benevolent help. And happened to come by when Stacy was here, and they picked it up. And there was a couple of other events that gone on, you know, that she said, wow, you know, do you guys, are you exposed to this kind of all the time? People in need, or people with stories, and people with life where they're in need and brokenness or whatever. And I said, yeah, you know, not all the time, but, you know, it comes in waves and people are in need. And, you know, it's not just here at church, but when we're out in the marketplace, whatever. And I said, you know what? We can't always help. Can't always give, but when we can, we do. And frankly, Stacy, whatever we gave them, we want it to help. And if they misuse it, it's no error on our part. I said, Stacy, because when we give it, it goes to help them, but we give it unto God. It's given with no strings attached. We make it an offering. Though it goes to them, our motive is that we give it unto the Lord. And whatever they do with it, that is their responsibility. We just did our part. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, anybody who comes in and they give us any story that we're just going to say, oh, yeah, here. You know, it's not like that. But the motive is that when we do give, we give it unto the Lord. We want to do something. What have you offered today? Did you offer, like the widow, your livelihood, your whole life? Did we come in and just offer out of obligation and there was no faith, no life in it at all? Did you come in and worship to offer it to God, or did you come in and worship in a way that, well, you know, I just want people to see how spiritual I am, or I don't need to do that. I can worship God in my own way. Why don't we worship God in his way? And sometimes it is quiet, and sometimes it is reserved, and sometimes it is with listening, but sometimes it is with shouting, and sometimes it is with dancing. And sometimes it is outside of what we might be used to or what we have practiced. Maybe it's outside of some unspoken protocol that we have allowed to creep into our life. Oh, everything should be done in decency and order. We know that that's, you know, written, but the decency and order isn't just by our surmise. It's by what is in order in his kingdom and what he's doing. He sees the heart. Maybe you and I need to get busy and not criticize someone else's offering, because we seem to appear maybe just a little bit like the disciples when they had a problem with the offering. And maybe, just maybe, the reason they had a problem with the offering is they excused it like, oh, we could have helped the poor, when in reality they were offended because they didn't offer something beautiful to the Lord. So, rather than moving ahead and doing that, they criticize the offering of someone else. Let's get to brass tacks. We criticize others because we're not willing to offer it. Thank God somebody's willing to offer it. And then when the offering's acceptable, do we criticize the one who's offering it? Listen, leave this stuff with God. And let's be about our business and our walk and our faith. The example God has used in how he brought life into these accounts and historical stories that happened in real people's lives that we can benefit from. But the real model was Jesus. He willingly obeyed the Father, left heaven, and came to earth to die on a cross so that you and I could have a chance. Because without him doing that, do you understand that we were lost? There was no sacrifice good enough for my sin and yours except the pure blood, untainted blood, the blood of someone that was not sinful. And so Jesus came and gave his life. That his blood was enough. God said, it's enough to pay for the sins of people. And so you and I get to apply that kindness to our life by believing in him. He was gracious enough towards us to lay down his life and shed his blood as payment. You and I have the opportunity now to believe in him and apply that grace to our life. So that when God looks at us, he says, ah, you believe. Ah, you've been forgiven. Ah, you and I have relationship. I left something out this morning, and I don't know if I want to share it with you or not. But in the story where Jesus was mistreated at the Pharisee's home and that woman was crying, Jesus rebuked them and said, when I came in, you did not wash my feet. You had no water, wash my feet. When I came in, you did not kiss me. And since I have been here, you did not offer me any oil to anoint me with. But since I arrived, this woman has been offering me all of this. He said, you offered me no water. You offered me no kiss. You offered me no oil. You see, they couldn't offer him cleansing because they were not clean. They could not offer him a kiss because they had no relationship with him. And they could offer him no oil because they had no fellowship with the Spirit. Three little insights for you. Into the water, into the anointing, oil. Little insight to the kiss and the fellowship. So let me ask you, have you been cleansed? Do you have a relationship with him? And do you have the fellowship of his Spirit in your life? Those are all symbolic things that are not there by accident. Well, you can have cleansing by asking God to forgive you. And when that happens, you have a relationship with him. And so it's like this kiss, this intimacy, this friendship that you can have with him. And thirdly, when that happens, you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that anointing oil that begins to come, and the oil of his Spirit to mend, to heal, to empower, all of those things.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.